This is the Top Agents Playbook Podcast, episode 18.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook Podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. I can't believe it's episode 18 already, and in the last few weeks, I've recorded some awesome interviews with top agents, and they're coming your way soon, so be sure to jump into iTunes and subscribe to be the first to get each episode as soon as it's uploaded. And before we get started, a special thank you to the team at Locked On for sponsoring the show. Locked On is the cloud-based, work-from-anywhere real estate software the top agents are turning to because it's a perfect fit with their professional goals and the increasing need to be mobile and connected. To get a free 30-day trial, simply head over to topagentsplaybook.com and hit the resources tab. In addition to your free trial, you'll get a huge discount for life deal, saving you hundreds on what will become the most important success tool in your real estate career. And don't forget to grab your pass to join me, Aaron Shiner, Luke Newton, and a talented lineup of top agents at Real Estate Recharge on the Gold Coast in just a few months' time. To reserve your place, simply go to topagentsplaybook.com and click the resources tab. If you'd like a discount deal for five or more, send me a message and I'll get you the info and discount promo you need to get going. It's interesting to speculate exactly why Channel 9's reality renovation series, The Block, is so successful. The show, which has already started production on its 11th series, challenges four couples to renovate a property, usually an apartment in a block of four, and bring their renovation in on budget and on time. And to spice things up, the stakes are high, with each couple getting the opportunity to win a cash bonus if their selling price at auction is the highest over the set reserve. Each couple also gets to keep the money made over reserve when the auctioneer's hammer comes down and the property they renovated is sold to the highest bidder. If you watch the series this year, you will have seen the winning couple make close to $1 million, an all-time prize record for the show, which has won five Australian TV Logie Awards since starting in 2003. Perhaps it's the drama, emotion, and excitement of tuning in each week to watch real-life everyday people overcome personal and renovation challenges. Or perhaps it's just the Australian obsession with property and the way a very clever production company brings everything together when it all comes down to auction night. Either way, this winning formula has been adapted in nine other countries and continues to engage a property-hungry audience for every episode. As always, with a sale by auction, all the effort, tension, expense, and personal investment comes down to that 15 or 20-minute window when the auctioneer asks the question, "How much am I bid?" and the fun begins. The featured auctioneers, which are personally chosen by each couple on the block, are among Australia's finest, and I was keen to take my Top Agents Playbook listeners behind the scenes to learn a little more about the show and how the production comes together. Fortunately, I didn't have to make too many calls as my brother David, a director with real estate company Hocking Stewart in Melbourne's Albert Park, had just finished his fourth auction for the show and shared some interesting insights into this highly successful reality series. And just before I begin my interview with David, I want to play an edited audio of the auction so you can experience the excitement of auction night on the block. This audio starts with the show's host, Scott Cam, asking the contestants their reserve before David starts the auction.
Okay, so what's your reserve?
1.390 with the 10 grand.
Off. Okay, to get in the lead, to win the block, and of course, if you do get in the lead, there's no more to come, you've won the block, 2.225.
When Shayna Blaze first walked into the master suite, she said yes. Yes, yes, yes. She said, "This is the shining star." She said to me, "This is the room that is going to make a bidding war." And ladies and gentlemen, I welcome your bidding war now. One at 27 Darling Street. We're in your hands now.
1.8.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my gosh!
1.8, 1.9 in the front.
It started.
1.95. And even at the back now, welcome your 50. A 2 million clearly bid now, 50 can we say?
You've made 600 grand or something.
A 2 million clearly bid, calling it three times. A $2 million first call. 2 million second call now. Thank you, 25 if it's better for you, boss. Good on you, and extend the same courtesy to you. 2 million and 50 and 75 from afar, can I say?
2 million.
685 grand tax free.
Oh my God.
Second call, 2 million and 75. 21, 20, can I say, Frank? Back to the 20s.
What are you doing to
2 million 100 B.
110.
2 million 120, can we say?
20.
Thank you.
50.
What about 2.2, sir?
No, I'm happy with 50.
50, righto. 2 million 160, Frank. 2 million 150 bid now. First call now, 21.50. Second call at $2,170,000 now. Bid is from afar on my left extreme. You happy with that, boss, out the back?
Very happy, though.
Your bid?
I like this guy.
I love him.
21.70 the bid.
180.
2.2, can we say?
Yeah, 2.2.
Good work. Oh,
what?
The bid. $2,200,000.
You're only 25 grand off.
Calling it three times. If there's no better bid, we are selling. We're on the market. Want to make that perfectly clear. There's no better bid. The gentleman's bid at $2,200,000 and he's buying it. This is the last one. This is value. This is the best apartment on the block. At $2,200,000, we're selling now. Welcome your 10. First call now, Frank, at $2,200,000, we're selling. Second call now at $2,200,000, clearly bid. Welcome your $10,000 advance anywhere at all. Fabulous buying. For the third and final call at $2,200,000, 1 at 27 Darling Street is going. It is going. It is sold. Congratulations.
Well, today I've got a very special interview, and I've had quite a few requests to run an interview with an auctioneer, and I started thinking about auctioneers, and when I started thinking about auctioneers, I couldn't think of anybody better than my brother David. How are you, mate?
Very well, Ray. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Now, you're up early. Have you had a coffee yet?
Yes, everything's good.
That's good. That's good. I don't want you going into this unprepared. Tell me, I want to talk about the block. Obviously, it's probably still fresh in your mind. I think you've been involved with the block. Now, this was your fourth time, and you were runner up this time, and you were first past the post last time. Can we rewind to last year when you were the winning auctioneer, or your property was first? Can you just explain to everybody who mightn't be familiar with it, who decides or how you decide who's first?
Who's first in the auction order?
Yeah, who kind of wins the night?
Yeah, okay. Well, just to give a bit of background, I know that many people will know about it, but the block is a made-for-TV television show whereby they go into a building and it's normally four couples are chosen and they spend 10 weeks on the building site renovating their apartment. Most of the ones have been apartments. So they get to the stage 10 weeks later. They then run a marketing campaign, and we have an auction night whereby they have TV cameras and potential buyers go apartment by apartment and go into each apartment, and the auction's conducted. So it's very live, it's very raw, and it's interesting how it unfolds.
Well, it's spectacular to watch, and the crescendo seems to build with each episode getting towards the final showdown and the auction day. So am I correct in saying that the winner is the couple that gets the highest sale price over their reserve price?
That's right. Okay. That's right. So the production company or the vendors set reserve prices, and that's every apartment will be different slightly because some have a better orientation. The one that we did in 2014 in Albert Park was in O'Grady Street, and there were four beautiful apartments there. Some were slightly larger, some were oriented towards the city and the northern views. So like any valuation method, they looked at each one individually. And the way they value them at the start of the shell, so they don't come in and say, well, you've done a better renovation than them. They value them in their mind as a renovated apartment upon completion, and then take into consideration the size and, as I said, the orientation. So then every apartment has a different reserve price.
Right.
And the couple that achieve the highest amount over the reserve win an extra $100,000 in the campaign.
So they get they get the money over the reserve plus they get the extra 100.
Tax-free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not so too bad. So
in 2014, our winners won, I think, $640,000 prize money.
Right.
And in the series that's just finished in South Yarra, combined, the prize money was around $3 million. So
wow.
the winning couple were about $820,000 above their reserve price. So they got another $100,000. So they're just shy of $1 million winning.
And nearly $1 million in your pocket. That's not a bad effort. For how many how many months' work?
It's about 10 weeks.
Right, okay. Wow. Yeah. And if you're second, third or fourth, you don't get anything?
No, you do. You get to keep the amount that we won. So,
okay, right.
So our couple in South Yarra were $810,000 above the reserve. That was the second prize,
right?
So they were very happy.
Well, you only just missed out, didn't you? Because wasn't the winning one like $835 above reserve or something like that? So you were just like $25,000 less.
We were.
Yeah.
We were, and that can come down. And you talked about before, and I didn't answer it for you, but you talked about the auction order. The day before the auction, the contestants go into a room and they endeavour to work out the order of the auction. So, and the agents that are listening would no doubt start to think about the nuances or the advantages of going first or last or somewhere in the middle. So I guess collectively the contestants don't necessarily want the perceived worst apartment to go first, because they believe that it may set the tone for every other one.
Of course.
Then the contestant will say, well, I don't necessarily want to go last because there's four buyers on the night required, and three of those buyers will have purchased, and what sort of buying pool will I be dealing with at the end? Then you've got buyers that say, well, I only like number one or I only like number four. Then you've got other buyers that say, well, look, we really just want to get one of them. We like them all and it'll be down to price, but we'd like to get one of them. So do we spend all our gas on the first one, chasing that hard, or do we wait thinking that we might pick up the last one? And if we wait and there's two people with like-minded waiting for the last one, is that going to push the price of that? So it'll you'll be up all night trying to work it out.
Yeah, of course. And while the campaign's going on, are you getting multiple buyers that are looking at different units, or do people get their heart set on one unit and they're just going to buy that regardless? Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Look, both.
Okay.
And it's the most difficult part as an agent, and I wasn't the agent involved, I was the auctioneer on the last one, but the previous one was involved in the agency side. So if we just separate those two roles for a moment, the real estate agent is the person that runs the inspection, takes the inquiry, and then the auctioneer comes along on the day or on the night and conducts that, so everyone would be familiar with that. But on the agency side, it's very difficult to actually know who you've got, because they can look at your apartment and say it's great, and then they're in the next one 5 minutes later saying, well, this is great. There's also inspections that are conducted that you don't know about, that someone went through and with the producer or with this, that or the other. So it's the buyers on the night. It's a little bit like trying to herd cats.
Yeah, and
you really don't know till you bounce the ball and to see who's going to be there and who's bidding.
Well, I guess it's like any other auction. You can have people that you think are dead keen and they don't even turn up. Do you have any idea how many contracts went out on the property that you auctioned?
Yeah, I would say it's about a dozen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are there people there who do you think were interested because they could say, I purchased a property that was marketed as the Block reality series? Do you think there's any of that going on?
I think so. It's a really interesting scenario because when they did the ones in Albert Park and then the most recent ones in South Yarra, so if we looked at those, probably the two most successful ones that they've had after the one in Dorcas Street in South Melbourne, but the most two recent successful ones, they bring to the market apartments that are just there's nothing really like them out there in the marketplace. So these were originally a group, but the South Yarra ones was a group of 12 one-bedroom apartments that they stripped out and remodeled to make four three-bedroom apartments, and they were set over three levels. So it's in Darling Street, you know, just off Toorak Road
yeah,
there.
Beautiful near the spot. Yeah.
It is a beautiful spot. And so they bring these really unique apartments. They're about 190 to 200-odd square metres, beautifully finished, all fully furnished. So everything that you see in there, you get the TVs, the fridges, everything stays.
Okay.
So that's, you know what it costs to set up a home. So that needs to be factored in as well. But when they bring them to the marketplace, it makes it so hard to value them because you look at them and say, well, you're comparing it to a house or comparing it to an apartment. But getting back to your question, I don't think people come along and part with their hard-earned money just because they've been on the Block. I think they look at these apartments and say, we consider them a good real estate purchase.
Yeah. And I'll ask you a question that's probably impossible to answer, but if these four apartments were for sale in Darling Street, South Yarra, like AAA position, looking, I was going to say $1 million, more than $1 million, but looking glamorous, and they weren't on the Block, could you see them being sold for a similar price?
Yeah, okay. I can.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of resales of properties that have formerly been involved with the Block, and the sale prices have been consistent with the market when they were sold as Block apartments. So, yes, I can.
Okay. Now, I know you were involved in the Block series, I think going back 3 years in Paran, not far from South Yarra, the suburb mm-hmm. of Paran in Melbourne, and that to me didn't seem as successful. Was it you who was telling me that?
Well, it wasn't as successful. We weren't involved. Hocking Stewart weren't involved with the one in High Street in Paran, and it certainly wasn't as successful. I think there was one couple that did reasonably well. I think two couples did reasonably well, but there were five apartments in all that went up for sale, and one of the contestants made $10,000 and another one made about $30,000. So they certainly weren't as successful as the ones either side of them. So
you couldn't compare High Street Paran with Darling Street South Yarra, I guess, but what was the presentation like?
Well, they were beautifully done, but I think that if we go back to where the engagement that we get from the producers. I mean, everyone on that show has a job. The builder's got a job, the tiler's got a job, the plumber's got a job, and the real estate agent's got a job. And they, you know, the it's an interesting way that the producers appoint their agents, in that they'll say, well, okay, you're involved, you're in, you can do it. We want you to go away and tell us where you think it should be quoted, how you're going to go about your marketing. So they see it very, very clearly that it's the real estate agent's job to fill that room on the night with people who are going to bid for it. And I think the last one in Paran, I think that by one means or another, and you can talk about the location, but they were certainly a lower price than Darling Street. I think that some things got left to chance. I don't think the presentation, and I'm not talking about the finish from the contestants, but I'm talking about the cleanliness and the presentation and style, was great. I also think that the pricing structure that the agent used was in a lot of ways higher than where the marketplace was. So
if they overquoted, in other words.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. If we go, and I think that a lot of the buyers then priced themselves out of it, and they weren't in the room on the night with the checkbook ready to go, and people next day saying, "Oh, that looked reasonably affordable. That looked like good value. I should have been there."
Yeah.
So if we go back to the basics of, you know, of real estate or agency work, to sell a property, you need to get three things right. It needs to be presented correctly, it needs to be promoted correctly, and it needs to be priced correctly. So if you look at all the stock that the agent might have and you look through your books as to what you've got and what's sitting around and not sold, I'll guarantee you that 99% of those properties have something wrong with them in those categories. It's either badly presented, badly promoted, or it's badly priced.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if the promotion that the block properties had is virtually money can't buy when it's on TV every night. So promotion was not an issue, but the presentation, I believe, was an issue, because here's the deal: if a property is not presented correctly and it's unclean and there's crap everywhere, a buyer's going to turn on their heel and walk 20 metres the other way, and suddenly they're in another apartment.
Yeah,
and it's no different from someone that's coming into your suburb and looking at five houses on the day. What are we doing to make our house stand out?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole quoting thing, I mean, interestingly enough, I'm sure every real estate agent who's been involved with selling property by auction listening to this interview with you would agree how crazy it is that so many sellers, you know, insist that their property is marketed at a high or quoted at a higher price, almost, you know, failing to understand that an auction moves up, not down. I mean, in this case with the block, who actually did you say before the producers gave you the opportunity to set the reserve, or gave the selling agent the opportunity to set the reserve?
No, not the reserve, but they allowed us to suggest where the property should be quoted in the marketplace to buyers.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's critically important. Of those three points that you mentioned before, that's the third one is price. I mean, you can have the other two, you know, 200%, but if it's quoted incorrectly, it's going to fall at the first hurdle.
Yeah. And then the Chinese whispers start around, you know, in the marketplace, that someone's suggesting theirs is going to make this certain amount, and others saying this one's better and it's going to be a lot higher. And so everyone gets their little grab with the buyers. But the agents in South Yarra, we were, you know, we sort of ensured that we're all on the same page, so that it was consistent across the board as to knowing that some were slightly better and slightly bigger. I think the quoting was consistent and buyers got a fair choice.
Yeah, just let the market decide. Mm-hmm. So who hired you, or who appointed you? Who said, "I want David Wood as my auctioneer"?
Okay, so the contestants go out and basically choose the real estate agent that they want to use.
Right.
And then that needs to be just ticked off by the producers. So if that agent's not reputable, or there's a reason why they're too far away or something like that, the producers might suggest to them that it's not in their best advantage to do it. And then the contestants will also choose the auctioneer that they'd like to use.
Okay.
So most of the other ones had auctioneers that were engaged outside of the agency, except the Biggin and Scott guy. So there were two out of four had auctioneers that were not aligned with that real estate agency. They were contract auctioneers, if you like.
Right. Okay. And so did you meet with the sellers beforehand, or did you meet with the couple? What was the couple's name again, I'm sorry, in this one just gone?
Josh and Charlotte, the young couple in Sydney. Yeah.
Did you meet with them?
Yes, we had. Yeah, actually, they knew their auntie had we've sold properties for Charlotte's auntie in Melbourne, and she was the one, the lady in Middle Park was the one that suggested to Charlotte that they have a chat with us, because she'd moved down from Sydney to do the show and she wasn't familiar with any of the agents here. So we had an initial discussion with them, and you often have an initial discussion while they're doing the renovation, but then they get so busy and tied up with the renovation that they virtually wait till it's done and then can engage their mind on appointing the agent and how that's going to work.
Okay. Tell me, who styled the apartments? Davo, who was the – I know Josh and Charlotte were involved, but did they bring in outside help to make it look awesome?
No, that's all they're doing. Right. There's a main builder that is engaged, and that's probably one of the things that a lot of people seem to think, that it's a young couple without any experience of doing the renovation, and you hear it all the time. They say, well, I'm not buying a property that's been renovated by an amateur. But the producers engage a major construction company who oversee the building, and then the contestants are they are the ones that will have a say in the layout of the apartment, if they want to change around living rooms and dining rooms and kitchens, and then the finishes and the styling. So it's all done by them. They don't bring in anyone else. They're not allowed to.
Okay.
Okay. Well, they might have advice along the way, obviously, but in the main, it's their styling.
Oh, well. It was I saw the video of the. Of the actual day, they were out of their brain with excitement. I mean, your guys were probably unlucky not to win. They were only was your property auctioned before or after the winner?
No, we were last.
Okay,
so okay. I think the winner was third, and then we were after that.
Okay,
so and look, yes, it is the luck of the draw. You could say, well, if you had your time again, would. If we were last or third rather than last, whether or not the buyer who purchased the other one, whether they would have been pushing ours up, you can theorise like that all day long. But I think everyone was just stoked with the result that was achieved.
Was it beyond your expectations, or did you think that you had a crack at winning when you started the auction, or you didn't know?
You always think you have.
Right.
Because you've got bidders in the room, and the three that have gone before you have pushed the prices to a level that you do believe that you're a chance. I thought that our apartment was aligned with the winner. I think that the winner's one had a bigger outdoor area, so the buyer who purchased that coveted the outdoor area more so than the street presence that we had. So,
yes.
But, yeah, you always think when you start the auction and there's three or four advocates that are there, you just don't know where their instructions are to go. So
yeah, of course. And the people that bought the apartment that you auctioned, were they losing bidders on the one before it?
I don't know if they were losing bidders, but I understand they were bidding on one of the other ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
How fascinating. Yeah, it's just such an interesting example. So Do you think you'll be gearing up again next year? Is there another block coming for next season? I guess with the success of this, there probably is.
Yeah, they've started on a building now in South Yarra. I understand they've started filming on another one that they're doing. So I think it'll be probably just a matter of see how it unfolds. And with our South Yarra office, the guys there, Mark Kanishi and Georgie, did an amazing job with this one. When I say an amazing job, it's a truckload of work when you start.
Yeah.
And the phone rings constantly for 5 weeks while you're marketing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you needed to do something, it's virtually drop everything and run down there and do it. So it's a lot of work and a lot of buyers to call back. But they did a sterling job, and they knew exactly who was still alive as buyers on the night. So as per your question before, I had confidence that we still had three or four buyers for our apartment still in the room.
Yep.
After the other three had sold. So that gave me a little bit of confidence.
Nice.
But yes, they're starting another one. So I'd imagine that before the end of the year, they will probably, you'll probably see it back on the screens again.
Nice. Now, yeah. I know you're big on presentation. So the director and producers before the auction, did they throw you into the bathroom and a bit of hair and makeup?
Well, the makeup ladies seem to spend more time on me than anyone else, so I don't know what that tells you. But it's pretty raw. It's amazing when they do the auction. You stand there, and I had before we started, I was in our apartment, and you're waiting almost like an expectant father pacing the room. You've got to wait like 2 or 3 hours because the auctions kicked off at 5:15, I think they did in the evening on the night before they went to air. So So at 5:15, and I don't think our auction started till about 7 o'clock. So you've got all that time sitting around and waiting.
Yeah.
And Scott, they filmed all the contestants upstairs in our apartment. Scott Cam came into our apartment just before it all started. And I knew I had 2 hours to wait. And he said, look, you know, you've got a big job. He said, the auctioneers let us down last year. He said, you need to step up. And so I felt, oh, okay, no pressure. He said, don't get it wrong in front of 2.5 million people, whatever you do.
No, you only get one shot at doing that. That's that's quite amazing. When you opened the auction, I think you said, Charlotte said yes. Was that your copy? Did you script that, or were you advised what you could say?
No, they let you do what you want to do. I was quoting Shayna Blaze, who they were her comments when she walked into the master suite.
I'm
about.
Sorry.
So,
yes. Yeah.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
But it's you know, I think in doing an auction, everybody knows it's got 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms. So I don't think there's anything to be gained by giving a guided tour-like description. So
yeah.
The auctions run as normal, but the producers obviously need to cut it into a few minutes and pick out some salient points. So that's what they did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you did a fantastic job. I'm a little biased, obviously, but I think you did an amazing job, mate. So so congratulations, and maybe better luck next year. You'll reclaim the crown again. And I just want to say thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, that's a pleasure, Ray.
Talk to you soon, buddy.
Okay, mate. Cheers.
Bye, mate. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this interview with David. I've just posted the YouTube video clip of the 4 auctions, including David's, in the show notes for this podcast, together with some other interesting stats about the show. To check it out, go to topagentsplaybook.com/18. I'll be back next week to present an interview with Toronto agent Melanie Pichet, who gets about 80% of her leads online from her blog and speaking the language her clients want to hear. I believe her website, which I'll share next week, is one of the best real estate websites going around right now, and she shares a little addition she made to the front page of her site that helped Mel and her team double their response. So thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, have an awesome week in real estate, dream big, and take names.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.